Good morning. It's great to see you all here today, and it's such an honor to stand before you and share the gospel. I told somebody a couple of weeks ago that I'm going to try to keep this message so simple that by the end of it, you're going to call it elementary. I'm going to start off today by sharing with you a little bit about myself, and then I'll go into today's message. Now, I wasn't raised in a religious family. We rarely ever went to church or attended a service. We were never members of a congregation, and we never went to Sunday school. As a matter of fact, today is the first time in my 37 years that I've ever stood before a group of people and shared the gospel. And I've never taught a Sunday school class or done a Bible study. So me getting up here today, it's a big step for me. And it's a very big moment for me. But this is such an important message to talk about. You know, this is the single most important thing that I can talk about and share with anyone. The gospel message is a message of eternal life or eternal death. That means we have an eternity to spend in heaven or in hell. And let me tell you, an eternity is a very long period of time. So this message, the gospel message, is very important. We're commanded in Mark 16:15 to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So that's what I'm going to do today, is share the gospel. In my early 20s, I began to attend a local church regularly. I was baptized, I made a confession of faith, and I joined a church. Several years later, there were some personal things going on in my life, and I began to question what I had been taught. I began searching and searching for what was the truth. And in my search, I asked my manager at work some questions about what he believed in regards to religion. He openly shared his beliefs with me, and I listened. He told me that there were only two religions. There was a religion of grace, and there was a religion of works. At the same time, I continued looking in other places. I searched and searched. I looked at Baptist, I looked at Methodist, Church of Christ, Church of God, and others. I even looked in non-Christian religions. And after searching and searching, I learned about a truly sovereign God. I learned about Jesus, who came, bled, and died on the cross and actually saved his people. He didn't just come and make salvation a possibility for sinners to make the decision if they wanted to be saved. The Jesus we hear about at this church actually did what he said he was going to do. He came and saved his people. I learned a lot of new words whenever I came here. I learned about propitiation, redemption, imputation, election, salvation, others. I heard so many new words that I had never heard before. Through all of this, God was revealing to me the gospel of His grace in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Like I said, God has revealed so many truths to me. But the one truth that I'm going to speak on today will be the doctrine of election. So, what is election? Election is what God did before the foundation of the world, before the beginning of time, before He created anything. He determined to elect certain people called His sheep out of Adam's fallen race and conditioned all of their salvation on the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Election is something that most mainstream religions don't believe in, and to be quite honest, really don't want to talk about or discuss. But I say to you, read your Bible, because it is a biblical truth. The following verses describe election, starting with John 6:37 through 40. where it reads, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all of which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Also look at what Christ says in John 10, verses 27 through 30. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Christ is saying here that God the Father gave him a group of people called the elect, his sheep, and he came to save those people. And he says that he will not leave anyone behind. Not one of his sheep will be left behind. And then in Romans 9, verse 11, where it reads, "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth." Paul is saying that even before we were born, and we have not done anything good or bad, we haven't done anything at all. He says that God makes the decision as to who the elect are and who the non-elect are. This passage also describes that salvation is based on God's grace and not of the works of a sinner. Also look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Where it reads, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." And last, in Ephesians 1, verses 3 and 4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Nothing in any individual sinner, nothing outside of God himself, influenced which sinners God chose to elect for salvation. God is the one who justifies the ungodly, and all of those who God elected for salvation are, according to Ephesians 2, 3, by nature the children of wrath, even as others. This means that even God's elect, his sheep by nature, sinners that are born of Adam, deserve God's wrath in the same way as those that God does not elect. A sinner that has been born again cannot glory in anything he has done or been enabled to do to make him to differ. He knows his character and his conduct falls way short of God's holy standard, which is Christ's righteousness, his work alone. Now let's look at what the scripture says about the standard of judgment used by God. Look at Acts 17, verse 31. "Because he," God, "hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, Christ, whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead." This says that Christ is God's perfect standard of judgment, his perfect righteousness that a sinner must have to stand before God. A child of God knows that because of his own selfish pride, self-love, and self-righteousness, he would have never chosen God. He knows that God had to choose him. The reason that God chose one sinner over another is only known to God. Those that are not saved by the grace of God will fight election to the bitter end. It is clear that God has revealed the scriptural truth of election in order to show His elect, His sheep, that there is no hope of salvation outside of the perfect obedience of Christ alone. The gospel that we believe declares the righteousness that is required for salvation, and God commands all who hear the gospel should believe on Christ, seeing all the conditions for the salvation of sinners have been fully met by Him alone. All who hear the gospel are warranted and commanded to believe the gospel. All who hear the gospel are forbidden to believe anything else. And all that believe the true gospel will not believe anything else. When God, by His Spirit, regenerates and converts one of His sheep, and He does this in the work in the day of His power, then they will not ever desire anything else but the finished work of Christ. Now, I was once talking to a close member of my family about this gospel. I was telling him about election, and he looked puzzled. He then stated if it was true what I was saying, then some members of our family may not be going to heaven. Listen, we all love our family and our friends, and this is something that you hate to even face or think about. But the thing about salvation is that God is the one who decides who goes to heaven and who doesn't. Salvation is entirely of God, and it is out of our hands. God does, however, tell us to preach the gospel, which reveals the only way that sinners must be saved. A good example of God's sovereign power over all things is displayed in the analogy of a potter and his right over the objects that he makes. This is found in Romans chapter 9, verses 21 and 22, where it reads, "Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction?" God has the power to make His vessels unto honor or dishonor. Just as the potter has power over the clay to do what he wants to with the clay, even if that means that the potter destroys some of the vessels while keeping others. The unbelief of many, even the majority, will not change God's promise. God's elect in each generation will hear and believe God's gospel. They shall be made willing to be saved based on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing else. Look at Psalms 110, verse 3. "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." The day of His power, God's power, is when the elect of God hear and believe the certainty of salvation in the person and the finished work of Christ as it is revealed in the gospel. They are brought to see that they are justified by the blood of Christ solely based upon the imputation of His righteousness. God commands all who hear the gospel, whosoever will, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. How could the doctrine of election shut any sinner out of heaven when God Himself commands all who hear the gospel to believe? Sinners shut themselves out by denying God's election of grace and insisting that salvation, or at least some part of it, be conditioned on what the sinner does. By God's grace, the goal of this message today is to try to remove the prejudices against election and to show its scriptural reality. In most cases, natural prejudices have been reinforced by perversions of this truth from the enemies of the truth. Also, natural prejudices have been reinforced by others who claim to believe these doctrines, but because of ignorance, confuse and mistake the real issues involved in God's revelation of these truths. God uses His truth to eliminate ignorance, confusion, and darkness. This happens in initial conversion when a sinner, by the Spirit of God, is enlightened by God's gospel to see the truth that all of the conditions or requirements for salvation have been fully met by Christ alone. It is also a continual process in believers where we are continually learning, and according to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The truth of God's election of a people and Christ's effectual, definite, redeeming work on their behalf are gospel issues that are vital to the salvation of sinners. These are not simply matters of theological debate and higher knowledge. These precious, God-honoring, Christ-exalting truths have to do with God's way of saving sinners. How will a holy and just God bring sinners into His fellowship? What will actually satisfy God's justice and gain God's favor for that sinner? The answer to these questions will be settled as all eternal issues are. They are settled by the standard of God's glory revealed in Christ. God's grace revealed in election and in Christ's effectual, definite, redeeming work, as He by Himself accomplished salvation for God's elect, are both necessary for the plain, simple preaching of God's gospel. These doctrines are vital components of true salvation knowledge of the gospel, not things to be added later only for the mature Christian. These are issues that have to be discussed up front and not later on. They are not doctrines that are hidden in obscure scriptures that can only be interpreted by well-learned theologians or biblical scholars. These truths identify the Christ that God sent to save a people from their sins. They distinguish the true Christ from all counterfeits. They remove all grounds of boasting on the sinner's part. They show how God is absolutely sovereign in salvation, how Christ is the only effectual Savior, and how man by nature is totally depraved and in need of free, sovereign grace, not a mere savability or a mere possibility of being saved if he will meet certain conditions. In conclusion, I am excited to share this message with you on such vital scriptural truths that point to Christ as being the Savior based on His doing and His dying. The truth can be hard to hear for those not resting on Christ alone, but the message of salvation based on Christ's finished work at the cross and that alone is music to a believer's ears.